Hello, this is Senior Missional Pastor Mike Abron, and today we're going to do a little topical talk and training on house churches and really churches in the marketplace as well. Because the reality of church, as we will discover, has nothing to do with a specific location. And this is something that, of course, we in our modern day have accepted that the church is this kind of building, or the church, even those who are doing house churches in our day, they've accepted it as it has to be in a house. It's not right because it's not right unless it's in a house, because the early first century church only met in houses, even though the scripture does say that they met in houses and in the temples. So it said they met in temples and from house to house. So it's really not confined to one location. If that was the case, then Jerusalem is where the church would still be if it was confined to one location and one way. And then if that was also the case, then as far as the churches were only confined to a house, then they wouldn't be successful in prisons. They wouldn't be successful in hospitals. Because the church is only in a house. So again, we'll talk more about that as we dive in. So now, of course, with anything discussing the church, we go back to the book of Acts, Acts chapter 2. And then there's other scriptures, many others that we will dive into to identify church and things that go on in the church, what the house church can look like, or the market church in the marketplace, what it could look like. Give some examples. So, Acts chapter 2, as well as, and these are not all things that I'm going to read like scripture by scripture, but you also have Hebrews chapter 10, 24, that's verse 24 and 25. Which talks about the assembling of ourselves, that we are not to forsake assembling of ourselves together, and that in 2 Timothy 3 and 16 starts talking about the scriptures that are given by they're given by inspiration of the Spirit, and that they. That's the Bible, God's word, and that's used for reproof, for correction, for doctrine, right? So let's go ahead and just talk a little bit about this. Now, we know the early New Testament church, which an example of that started in Acts. But when we really look at it, the actually early New Testament church before manifested started with Jesus. And so Jesus, he was the church in flesh. You know, he was God in flesh, but obviously God doesn't disconnect from himself from anything that he is, that is a part of him. His word is a part of him. The church, Jesus said, I will build my church. So therefore it's a part of him. The body of the church, what we call the church of our day, not the building, but the people, is called the body of Christ. So we're also called the bride of Christ. So he doesn't disconnect himself from anything that he actually has as a part of himself, or that he owns, or that he claims right to. He doesn't separate himself from it. So what we'll see through the life of Jesus, when you look through the four gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Some people like to be official: Saint Matthew, Saint Mark, Saint Luke, Saint John. When we see the life and ministry of Jesus throughout these four books, we see an example of the church, because he came to bring the kingdom of heaven. He came to bring the kingdom, and the church was something that was birthed from revealing the kingdom of heaven. So it was all about revealing the kingdom of heaven and revealing his father. And this is what Jesus addressed throughout his ministry, that he was talking and doing what he saw the father doing. He was saying what the father was saying. He was in tune with the father by the Holy Spirit. And one thing we have to look at with Jesus, that he was 100% God, but he was also 100% man, flesh, because he had to be flesh. He had to invade our world to actually die in that nature of the flesh as a man and be that ultimate sacrifice, that lamb, sacrificial lamb that they used to use in the Old Testament where they would sacrifice animals for the sins of a nation. Jesus was that ultimate sacrifice. So he had to be man, and he even made claims that I lay my life down. No man could take it from me. So even while being on the cross, he could have called legions of angels to get him off of there, but he chose to die because it was to please the Father's wrath that he had in waiting for us since the fall of man back in the Garden of Eden with Adam and Eve. So we see that Jesus in his life and ministry, and these are books that you could go and, we're not going to, that'll take a very long time to go through all four books, but you'll see that Jesus functioned in a way throughout his ministry. He functioned in a way to bring healing, to bring deliverance, to bring salvation, to bring restoration to the lives of people. And that's what he was all about, because that's what the kingdom of heaven was, to invade the darkness, the sin, the sorrow, the death, the pain, the misery, all that stuff that Adam and Eve invoked on us because of their fall. And a lot of people still point back to Adam and Eve and blame them, but we make the same choices every day sometimes, that we have an opportunity to do what God told us to do, and we completely like, nah, I think I'm gonna just do it this way now. I don't really want to do it. That's too hard. That's too difficult, And so while we're in our phases of growing spiritually, we make bad mistakes as well. So Jesus came to rectify that, and he did an example of that with his life before he even was on the cross, that he was sacrificing his time, his energy, his effort to bring healing and deliverance to other people, to set other people free by the power of God. And so the church started with him, and he traveled and he spent personal time with the disciples. He spent fellowship with them. He spent time with them. They were not just associates, but they were family, that he was releasing the knowledge of the kingdom of heaven into, but he was also building a relationship with them. And so the church is a, Jesus showed his through his life and ministry, and as demonstrated through the four books of the gospel, we see that the church is about caring for others. It's about community. It's about family beyond bloodlines. It's about, even if whether it's in one location or it's in another location, or if it's moving from one location to another location, the church doesn't stay necessarily in one place. But you can come into a place and experience church there because the people are there. So church is the people. It's not the building, it's not the house, it's not the wherever you are, because some people have to meet in movie theaters. Some people may have to meet in a, warehouse. Some people may have to meet in a conference room and have church. They may rent out a place in a university that's a non necessarily it could be a non-Christian university. Just the space is there to rent. It doesn't matter. So church can be in a building that we call church, but remembering that if we take the church out of there and make that building something totally different, like we put something else in that building, it's not no longer a church building as we know it, right? Because it became something else that's in there that it used to be a church building. So that means, that's not the church because there is no used to be when it comes to anything that has to do with God. Everything that has to do with God is for from now and forevermore. So church exists and in a variety of ways, but it's all through the people of God. But there are some foundational things that we're going to look at that identifies what the church really is.
And we're going to pick that up in our next audio.